These are not work.
Grace, we're live. Do you realize how awesome I am? Like, have you thought about that lately?
I mean, I do make a note to think about that every morning around lunchtime. And then...
Yeah, keep going.
And then again, before I go to bed.
What do you eat at lunch when you're thinking of that?
Sometimes like some rice, like a little stir fry. Sometimes a salad, a salad.
It's good.
Sometimes a little pita. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you?
Nonetheless, you think of how awesome. I think how awesome I am all the time also.
That's good. We're thinking about the same things. Hey, what's your favorite? Do you listen to music, Christmas music around the holiday season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. It doesn't make my eyeballs bloody.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Do you have a favorite song?
A favorite Christmas song?
Yeah.
You can't put me on the spot like this.
Sure I can. You do it to me all the time.
I don't. I don't know. I like them all. I like Christmas music for this short period of time.
Nice.
What's yours?
I really like Walking in a Winter Wonderland. I like it. It makes me think about walking around in the snow. I love it.
Interesting.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah. You had a, didn't you do a race this weekend and put on a race or something?
No, Gina had her debut as a race director, which was very exciting. She did fantastic. And a friend and I, Heather and I, proofed. That's what we did. Yeah, we did some proofing at a race. So that was fun.
Cool.
Yeah. How about you? What'd you do? Did you do some hunting?
I did some hunting. I got skunked. So not really much to report back on that front.
Ooh.
Didn't see a thing.
Yeah.
1 week left of the rifle season for anybody that's wondering. That's all I got. I hunted my butt off this weekend for nothing. So, but that's why it's called hunting and not killing. That's why you do it, because it makes it that more special when you get a chance to harvest something.
Okay. You don't have much of a butt to begin with too. So that probably played a factor. If I hunted my butt off, that would be like every day.
I see where you went with that. You made a little jokey joke out of my skinny butt.
I did.
That's cute. Real cute. You know what? Let's just get on with the show. You ready?
I'm ready.
Grace, listen up. We are talking to a runner tonight who has run 200 races of marathon distance or longer. Or more, not longer, more. Remember, more.
Okay.
I'm betting she'll run. Oh, no, wait. Okay, let me start over.
This is probably the best one of the year right here.
That's probably my worst mess up in 144 episodes, but here we go. We're talking to a runner tonight who has run 200 races of marathon distance or more, and
You can do it. I believe in you.
Well, it got messed up because I had to change a thing. Okay?
Okay. Take a breath.
I'm trying to figure out how to say it.
People are going to think that their podcast player is broken. It's not broken.
My brain hurts.
I know. It's okay. You can do this.
All right. Grace, we're talking to a runner tonight who has run 200 races of marathon distance plus, and I'm betting she'll run more. Let's figure out how she's done it on episode 144. I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you.
Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
I'm not even going to try to explain myself there. That's it. I'm done.
Mm-mm. Okay.
It's not fun.
Cool.
Just forget it ever happened.
Got it.
No, you won't, because you'll bring that up at the most opportune time just to put me down a notch.
Oh. And
yeah. I know how you work.
No, I mean.
Oh, no. Right now, I'm cute little Grace. I wouldn't do a thing like that. Yeah. You just put that in the old vault. I know you did.
Not at all. I think you're great. You're doing awesome.
Yeah. Anyway. Whew, that was a train wreck. Wow.
All right. Let's move. Lisa's going to save the show, save the episode here. I've wanted to have Lisa on the podcast for a long time. I got to spend some miles with her at the Baker 50 miler. I have been following her for years. I think first got to meet her in person at Funt. And I've just like one of my favorite people to follow. I'll have to make a list one day, but she's probably going to be in the top three along with Adam Cole. Like, there's certain people who just do so much stuff all the time that it's really fun to watch all of their stuff that they do. So Lisa just hit her 200th race of a marathon distance or longer, so we thought that would be a good time to have her on.
Yeah, and call her by her official document name, Lisa Runs a Lot.
Lisa Runs a Lot.
Hey guys.
Hi Lisa.
Hi Lisa.
How are
Thanks
you
for
guys?
Coming on. Wow.
You're welcome.
So, all right. Grace has so many questions. What was the last race you did that got you to didn't you just cross the 200 mark?
I did. I did it like 2 weekends ago. I did a 6-hour race in North Carolina.
Nice. How'd it go?
It was good. It was 2 miles. It was around a lake on a nice trail and raised money for a good cause. And for me, it went well. I ended up with, I had 32 miles, so I ended up being the women's winner. Although I'm going to say there was only 12 people in the race total in the 6-hour. It was part of a 24-hour and a 12-hour, so I didn't have that many people to compete against, I guess. But it was just a lot of fun. It had all the things I love about ultra running. I met nice people. The trails were great. It was a beautiful day. And it was just lots of stuff to eat and drink and just all the good things.
What's the name of the race?
It was called, oh boy. Now I'm not going to forget. Oakwood. Oakwood 24.
Oakwood 24 hour.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So they had 12 hours, 24 and 6.
Nice. That's a good one.
So technically I slacked.
Well.
But it was
shout out to them while we can. So now take us way, way back in time. And there's a lot to talk about after 200 yes. races. So how long have you been running? When did this whole thing start?
So I started running probably in the fall of 1998. I used to walk and I got bored walking. I also have asthma. So when I would run, I would wheeze. And so I never really loved running because of that reason, but I kind of got bored walking and I decided, well, maybe now I have an inhaler, I'll be able to run. And so I decided to give it a shot and I made it about 20 seconds before I had to stop and walk. But I just gradually, you know, built myself up. And before you know, it was like a half hour nonstop. Then it was like an hour nonstop. And then we kind of left it in an hour for a very long time. And I never actually ran a race until after I had my son in 2002. I decided I had to do something else besides be home and be at work. And so I started running again and I decided to run a 5K. It was part of the Baltimore Marathon. And I had a great time. I mean, it was so much fun. I didn't even know that it was 3.1 miles. That's the sad part. I thought it was like 2.7 or something. I don't know. I didn't know anything at that time, but, uh-huh. But I decided to go and run the race, and I knew nothing at all about running and what to wear. I had on sweatpants and like a thermal undershirt. And I had no clue. So yes, I was the only one dressed in all those sweat clothes because I didn't know any better, but I met a lot of really nice people, and they were very encouraging when they found out it was my first 5K, and they gave me all kinds of tips, and they said, hey, if you did this, you should do the Towson Turkey Trot. So I said, okay, because that was like a month later. And so I ended up running the race, and it was a lot of fun. I had a really good time. I looked at my finish time, and I was like, why was I so slow? And then I figured out that it wasn't 2 miles. It was actually 3.1. So I was like, all right, well, that's better. But it was really nice. It was fun. And I learned a lot about what I was supposed to do. And so I showed up at the Towson Turkey Trot and ran another 5K and had the right clothing on. And it was a better experience. And it was still fun. Nice. Yeah. And then just went 5Ks to 5Ks. And then I ended up doing... signing up for the Cherry Blossom, the 10 miler. And so I knew some people that were doing it a few years before, and they were like, oh, you should come run. And I was like, but I'll never run 10 miles. That's what was my actual answer. And so I ended up signing up for the Cherry Blossom. And also at this time I did all my running on the treadmill. My son was a baby. So like I do it at night. And I basically trained on the treadmill and went and ran the Cherry Blossom and had a lot of fun. And had a good, you know, had a pretty decent pace and all. And on that high, I put my name in for the New York City Marathon for the lottery. Never really expected to get picked, but this was back in 2003. So this was when you still had to dial up on the internet. Now I know I'm dating myself. But I remember June 12th of that year, the lottery results came out. So I got out of bed. I'm dialing up on the internet at midnight, pull up my name, and it says accepted. And I was like, holy crap, I have to figure out how to get from 10 miles to 26.2.
Wow. You know?
And I woke my husband up. I'm like, hey, guess where we're going to be on November 2nd? And he's like, where? And I said, I got into the New York City Marathon. He's like, that's great. He goes back to sleep. And meanwhile, I'm like laying there. How am I going to do this? Yeah. But I did it. And I also had a great time during that. And I was like, when many people are like, I'll never do this again, it's a one and done. And I said, I'm definitely doing this again. That was a lot of fun. And it just kind of took off from there.
So that was your first one of the 200?
That was my first one. Yep. And I grew up in New York. So that was kind of, you know, that was kind of special.
So let's see. What year was that?
So that was 2003.
2003. So 23 years.
Doing the math.
200 plus marathon distance or more. Grace, would you math that for me?
What math do you want to know?
How many is that per year?
So that's what, 22 years of running.
2000. So I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not good at the math either.
We're just coming up with an average. I was just curious.
like nine. So like almost one a month.
So one a month, one every month and a week.
Plus the 5Ks, the 10, because you still...
I still
do and we'll get to this, but you still do the quote unquote shorter distance. We all know 5K isn't, you know, it's technically
it's hard. Distance.
Yeah, 5K is hard.
I do a lot of them, but I do like the Bel Air Town Run because it's the town, you know, the town run, our running club puts it on. Mm-hmm. And so I've done a couple 5Ks here and there.
So what about your first ultra? How did that go down?
So the first ultra, so I went after I started doing the marathons and I ended up signing up for like the Chicago Marathon. I qualified for Boston, did Boston. And then I ended up having I did one in Maryland and I started having marathons in all different states. And I saw people at the 50 States Marathon Club shirts on. I was like, ooh, that seems crazy. And it seems almost undoable. So I have to try and do this. So I had decided to run a marathon in all the states. And one of the last ones I did was one in Delaware. And it was a couple of loops around Cape Henlopen State Park, which is very pretty. And it actually had a trail section. Like we went off the pavement into the woods and I absolutely loved it. It was like my favorite part of the whole loop. And every time I went around, I was like, well, I can't wait to get back in the woods. And so after I ran that marathon and then the next one after that was my 50th state, and I said, well, I have to try some trail running. So I signed up for...
Wait. When did you finish your 50 states?
So the 50 states I finished December of 2012.
Wow.
Yeah. I did a lot the last year because I really wanted to finish in Hawaii. So I think it ended up being like 19 or 20 in the last year, something crazy. Yeah. I started out with one or two a year, and then I run too many miles and I get injured. So then I kind of figured if I do them a month apart, like 3 or 4 months in a row, and I don't do a lot of long runs in between, I won't get injured. And it's worked out really well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just constantly do marathons and you're fine.
So yeah, so my goal is, so my plan is I use one race to train for the next race.
Okay.
But so I ended up finding this race in New Jersey by the New Jersey Trail Series. It was, they either had a marathon or a 50K, and it was a couple loops in a park up there. And I went and I did that, and it was great. And that was also really, really fun. That was my first real trail race. And so I did the marathon, and I knew also nothing really about trails. It had snowed in Maryland, but it snowed in New Jersey, and there were a lot of icy parts. I had no idea. They were talking about people putting screws in their shoes. I had no clue what they were talking about, but now I know what that is. Yeah. So it was like four loops, and I think I fell like three times, then two times, then one time. And the last loop, I finally made it through. You know, it was muddy at that point, but I managed to not fall. But I had a great time. And I was like, well, I got to do that again. And I put my, I came home and I found the Hat Run, which was a local 50K. Mm-hmm. And I went to sign up for it, and it was a wait list. And then I kind of like forgot about it. And I did some more road marathons. And then I get this email like 2 weeks before, hey, we have a spot for you. Do you want to run? And I said, sure, why not? So then I did the Hat Run, and that got me hooked.
Wow. You've probably done the Hat Run quite a few times. It's a popular one in Maryland.
I think probably about 8 or 9 times.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
So what's your, and it probably has changed, but what's your favorite format or race distance?
If I had to pick a favorite distance, I kind of would say probably 50K or like 6 hours, because you can go and run it and then you're not wiped out for like weeks after.
Right.
Because like if you do longer, like I find if I do like 50 miles or 100 miles or longer, it just takes forever. My legs will be good after a week, but I will be so tired. Yeah. I will be falling asleep at 7 o'clock on the couch for like a month. So it just kind of messes up the ability to do other things when I'm just tired and wiped out. So I think probably 50K is nice. You get a nice, it's a good size run. You get to see a lot of good stuff, and then you recover faster. And it's also kind of nicer for traveling too, because I can function the next day and get home if I need to get home.
Wow. Okay. So you get into ultras like 2012, 2013, right?
2013 was my first one. Yep.
Okay. So you've been doing ultras for 12 years now.
Yes.
That's a whole lot of ultra running. And you're probably one of the only people I know who just does every single format and every single distance. And you don't really, it doesn't seem like you go in and out of any season of anything. You're doing 50Ks and 50 milers and then a 5K, and you're doing a really big road race and then a really small fat ass. Like you just do anything that pops up.
I like the variety though. I like doing different things. I think timed races are fun. You know, you get to know all the people, it feels like it's just a lot more, everybody's like closer. You get to know one another. And then, at a certain point, it's over. And then if I've gone all out in time races. And then 1 year I did a 24-hour, and I said, you know what? It was a month between two longer races I was going to do. And I said, all right, I'm going to run and I'm going to sleep overnight. And I did. I ran till I was in my car sleeping at like 11 o'clock. And then I got up the next morning and they were like, hey, there's pancakes and bacon. And I had to go to the bathroom. That's what woke me up. And so I went over to the aid station. I was like, well, if I'm going to go to the aid station and get pancakes and bacon, I might as well just walk till the race is over. So, yeah. So that year I ended up sleeping. I didn't get, big miles, but I had a good time. So,
yeah.
But it's fun. I like all the different things. It's kind of all fun. And it keeps it from not getting boring.
That's great. Now, Chris Young, he asked in the chat, what kind of mileage do you get? Do you track your weekly mileage?
I track it in my watch, actually.
Yeah.
And then, and I will like write stuff down like in a notebook. But I don't really tally it up. I use the watch to tell me how many miles, like the watch will track it. But I generally probably average about maybe 30 miles a week. So I don't do big miles during the week. I do some cross training too. I always have a day off. I do some weights, and but most of my races, I use one to like train for the next. So like I did a 6-hour race in Missouri in October, and that was training for the Harrisburg Marathon, which I was doing in November. And then I kind of at the last minute decided to do that 6-hour race that was in North Carolina because I had the day off on Friday. And I was like, I can make a road trip. So, yeah, so it's kind of a last minute decision. But so I just keep it, you know, different. I like doing different stuff.
Wow. That's wild. Do you have a favorite race that you've done? Do you have a couple of standouts?
Yes. So the one that I really look forward to every year is the one I've probably done the most times. And it is called 3 Days at the Fair.
Yeah.
In New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And you guys may have heard of it. It's everything for, they have 6 days, 3 days, 2 days, 24 hours, 12 hours, everything down to you can do a marathon. And so I did that race for the first time in 2014. I decided I had done one 12-hour race before, like the year before. And I said, oh, I think I'm going to go and try 24 hours and see what that's all about. And it was the same same group that put on the first trail race I did, the first trail marathon. And the family that puts on the race is great. They're really nice people. And when I went to that 24-hour race, I knew two people. That was it. But I met so many people. Everybody is lovely. And I tell you, I go back every year because of the people. It's probably like 40 of us that are there every year. And it's like a family reunion. So you pull up, I get out of my car, and it's just, all you do is walk around and greet people and hugging people. And, you know, you just get to see all your friends. So it's a family reunion where you actually want to see all of the people.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, family reunion, you may not want to see one too, but I go back every year because it's just, I really like the people. And it's a 1 mile loop. It's paved. It's lit at night, so you don't have to worry about a headlamp. And you pass the aid station every mile, and they make all kinds of food all day and all night.
Wow.
So yeah. So like the first year I went, when I did the 24 hours, my goal really was to, I had done 54 in the first 12 hour I ever did. My goal was 55 because I would beat that. And then I said, well, if things are really good, I'll go for 62. And if things are really, really good, I'll go for 75. And I ended up having a lot of fun. It was meeting people and talking to people and running with people, and the time's going by. And I hit my 55, and then I hit the 62, and then I kept going. I was feeling not too bad. And I was talking to this woman, and she's like, what's your goal? And I said, well, I told her my three goals. And she said, well, you could probably hit 100 miles. She's like, you're moving really well. And I said to her, but I'm not even trained for 100 miles. It's not even like on my, it wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah.
And, but she's like, well, she's like, there's no reason you can't do it. She's like, if everything hurts now, it's not going to get any worse. It's just going to keep hurting. So she's like, just keep moving. So I was like, well, I hadn't really thought about it. And then I started thinking about it, and I said, well, all right, maybe she's got a point. I don't know. And then so one of the people I actually knew there, I said, you know, I had said, do you think it's possible? And she said, just keep moving. And so I hit my 75, and I think I still had 6.5 hours left. So I was like, well, I'm just going to go for it and see what happens. And so I hit my 100th mile. I hit 100. It was maybe 22, 50, somewhere in there. And I got to I passed the aid station after you go over the timing mat. And I said, hey, can you guys make me a cheeseburger? And I'll get it on the next lap. So I then ran another lap. And then when I came back, I ate my cheeseburger. And then I said, you know, I was like, well, there's like, I don't know, 40 minutes left or whatever. And somebody's like, oh, you should keep going because everybody stops at 101 because you get a belt buckle. And 101, they're like, keep going. So I said, all right, well, I don't want to lose the cheeseburger. You know what I mean? By running. So I figured I'll walk two more loops. I wound up with, I ended up with 103 miles.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that was my first foray into like the time stuff. And it ended up being a lot of fun. I ended up having a really good time, meeting a lot of nice people, and ended up with miles that I really never thought I was capable of. And that really started the ball rolling. And, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
And that was 2014, I think you said?
That was in 2014, yeah. And I think every year I've been there except for 2020, because they had moved it with COVID. They moved it from May to September. Mm-hmm. And I was already running the Yeti 100 the same day. Yeah.
Okay.
That same weekend. So that was the only year that I missed. And wow. So I've done everything from marathon there to 48 hours, and it's always fun.
Wow. That is awesome. That's been on my bucket list for a while. I haven't been able to make it there.
You really should. Yeah. Everybody is so nice when you get to know everybody. It normally would get probably very boring there, but it doesn't because there's always somebody to talk to. And then there's always, food and, real bathrooms you pass every mile, a hot shower. Mm-hmm. So
It sounds a lot like Conquer the Wall. Have you been down there?
I've not done that.
Yeah, it's a 2 mile road loop. That's a 47 hour, a 35 or 47. Yeah, that's real, real similar. It's probably, I think it's some of the same people go actually.
Oh, wow. That would be cool.
Yeah. I'll have to
check it out. All right. Always new things.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have just this huge amount of experience behind you with all these different distances. Another question that came through the chat, what advice would you give to someone who's training for their very first marathon?
So I would say to them that if you have decided to run your first marathon or your first ultra, I would say good for you. I said, you've already taken the biggest step, which is you have decided to do it. You have picked a really big goal. And then I would tell them to, pick some kind of a training plan and stick with the plan, but also listen to your body. If you're really tired, you need to take a day off, take a day off. Mm-hmm. And I would tell them that whatever happens, with the race, if you don't finish it or if you get injured right before it, whatever happens, I will tell people that the journey that you took to get as far as you did has already changed you for the better. I feel like there's no losing when you choose a big goal like that. If it doesn't end up in a finish or the time you want, because you pick something big that most people won't do, and you put the time in for it and you went for it. And my husband started running marathons, and there's some other people in the running club that ran the Marine Corps. It was their first marathon. And I told them, when you're on the starting line, I said, you're already a winner. I said, because you already did the hard part. You made the big decision. You put the time in, and you're going to go for it. And there's no losing there, because you already have changed for the better. So I think that's, you have to do what works for you. Don't compare yourself to what other people are doing, whether it's training or running. Run your own race and just be proud of what you did to get there. And whatever time you finish with, you did it. And I think that's, there's so many takeaways. People a lot of time focus on how fast am I going to run? Where am I going to place? And you lose sight of the most important part of the whole thing, that, you picked a big challenge and you went for it and you're doing it. So I think that is, don't get discouraged. And the other thing I would say too, is that if you have one or two bad long runs, that is not the end of the world. It happens to everyone. That doesn't mean your marathon is going to be a disaster. So just, the next day is a new day and you just move on and just be proud of what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great advice. And I want to ask a similar question. Mm-hmm. And I hope you don't mind this. I think in running, we don't really care if people know how old we are, because it's so easy to look each other up. You can just go on Ultra Sign Up and you find out how old somebody is. And if you look you up on Ultra Sign Up, you have first off 111 races, which is awesome. 24 of those have you as first female. So that's also pretty awesome. I mean, you've just done, Hennepin and Umstead and just Yeti, a huge, huge, awesome list. And you're 56, right?
Yeah, and I'm 56, yes.
And so I want to ask this question. Has your perspective changed, or have your goals changed when you got to a certain age, whether that was, when you hit 45 or 50 or 55, did you start to change your perspective or your thoughts on, or your goals at all? Or did you just stick to, I'm just going to run all the time and see what happens?
I don't know. I think that some things, with training, will have changed because of all the, changes you go through, health, physical changes and stuff. So I think that, for me, I think I have to be more careful about, I try to space things out, at least 2 or 3 weeks. I won't usually do back-to-back weekends and stuff because it becomes too much. And so I think I have to pay more attention to the recovery stuff. But I think the goal, other than like the time that I really wanted to qualify for Boston the first time, I think the goal is always just to have a good day, have a fun day, appreciate being out in nature, appreciate meeting and getting to hang out with people all with the same goal. And just being thankful I can be there and just to do it, I think for me. I think for me, maybe at this point in time, it's really more a lot of gratitude, because I stand on the starting line and I think I'm lucky I can physically be here. I'm physically able to try this. And I don't, you know, I've had a lot of success, but I don't define my running by where I, you know, if I've won or something or not. I really just want to go and have a good time and just do something that makes me happy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I find that when, and you know, if I don't pay attention to my watch, like what the pace is or, you know, what the time is, or it's just a lot more fun, if that makes sense. Unless I got to worry about a cutoff. But I just, to me, I think it's just about going out, doing your thing, and just being happy I can be there. And if I happen to win something, that's great. That's not the goal, but it's like the icing on the cake. But I think it's just really, I just am very thankful that I've been able to do what I've been able to do. I mean, I've had injuries here and there, and, you know, I haven't had always been successful. I have DNF'd, so, you know, so there's that. But I've learned from that.
How many?
I DNF Western States. That was it.
That's the only one.
So there's another one. Well, there's another one listed on Ultra Sign Up. It was a local, the race had a 50K and a 25K. And this was way back, I think it's probably like 2014 or 2015 when I first started out. And it was a small race and nobody was going out to do the second loop. And I really wanted somebody to go out with me. And I was like, well, I guess I'll, yeah, everybody was like, we're stopping. So I was like, well, I guess I'll stop too. So I finished the 25K, but I got a DNF for the 50K. But Western States that was my big DNF. Yes. So.
That's not many though. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. You know, it's weird because if somebody would have told me before I ran it that I was going to DNF, I probably would have been like incredibly angry and insulted. And I probably before that race, I would have thought to not finish that would be like devastating. But you know, I went and I also was unable to run for like 3 months after I got in. I still don't know exactly what I did. I think I pulled a muscle shoveling snow. Because I shoveled snow, I went for a run, and then I had this horrible pain over my hip. And, well, that just went on for a long time, and nobody could figure out what it was. But eventually, I got it figured out. And so I did all the training that I could. You know, I did, like, uphill walking on the treadmill and the Stairmaster and did strength training and trained for the heat and all that. Tried to do whatever I could do to get there. And then when I was finally able to start running, which was in April, I had signed up for my 3 days at the fair race that year was 12 hours. So I figured, well, I'll go and I'll just run, walk for 12 hours, see how it goes. I was very worried that I lost my endurance. And I actually went and I had a good run. And I was able to actually get a lot of miles in and I felt good and I was really happy about that. And then I went to the training camp and, you know, you do like 71 miles over 3 days and that went well. And I was like, all right, well, I've got a chance of getting this thing done. And so I did what I could do and I went and I felt good about it. And, but then I ended up, going down a hill. There were a lot of rocks and I slid out on the rocks. I ended up tumbling and I was able to get up and it was pretty early on. It was like maybe mile 12, somewhere in there and I could run, but something was off. And as I was running, I was leaning further and further forward. I couldn't balance. I couldn't stand up at all. I wasn't really leaning to a side. I was just kind of stuck, hunched over. And so I got to a point where I couldn't run anymore. And then I was having a lot of trouble going up and down hills because I couldn't, like, you know, lean back going down, you know, to balance myself. And so then I was going down another hill. It was a short, steep downhill, but I couldn't lean back and I ended up falling again. But I was able to get my hands out in front of me because my face went into a rock. And I was like, well, this is not good. But I didn't, you know. So I had some blood on my hand, but then I'm looking at my cell phone. Did I, you know, first thing I'm thinking is I hope I didn't knock any teeth out because that's going to be really expensive. And I was like, okay, what did I do? And so it was just like a little scrape. And but I ended up getting into the aid station like two. I missed the cutoff by like 2 minutes. But I couldn't really run anymore anyway. But but anyway, I got to the aid station and there were two girls that were out running on the section of trail. And I still don't know why they were out there because it was such a remote spot. But they actually went and they told the aid station that I was coming in. And because they were like, are you okay? You know, and I'm like, well, I can't stand up straight. Other than that, I guess I'm okay. And so they told the aid station that, you know, that I was going to be coming in. And I got to the aid station and they actually clapped for me for whatever reason. I guess because I made it into the aid station. And I don't know. So it was like disappointing, but it was, but honestly, it was the whole situation of getting to be there, getting in, you know, the whole the training camp and the day you pick up your packet. The whole thing was so exciting that and, you know, I pretty much got to see most of the course except for maybe like 5 miles of it. So I feel like I still saw most of it. And everybody was so nice. And the race is done so well that I was sitting there and I was like, I'm kind of disappointed, but I'm just really grateful. And then so that is the lesson that I took from that is that, you know, I spent years trying to get in and then I got in and I gave it my best shot and I couldn't do more than that. And I was actually very like satisfied and grateful for the whole thing. So I think that was a good lesson for me that, you know, I didn't finish, but, you know, it was not the end that I might've thought it was going to be. It was just, I learned from this and then I just moved on. And so that was good. And then, and there was a woman that finished probably 20 minutes after me at that aid station. And she, when she found out she missed the cutoff by like 20 minutes, she was really upset and she was like sobbing and everybody's just looking at her. And I was like, all right, this is not cool. So I got up and I went over to her and I, you know, I put my arm around her and I said, hey, I said, there's a couple of us in the same boat. I said, but, you know, I said, but I want you to think of this. I want you to think of all of the effort you put into getting to this point, right? Running the qualifier, entering the lottery. You just ran, you know, whatever it was, 25 miles that were, you know, not the easiest trails to run on. You're at elevation. I said, so whatever you did, I said, it's still amazing. I want you to, you know, I said, I understand you're disappointed, but the whole thing is still, it's still amazing that you're here in this spot. I said, so I want you to carry that with you. And then she was like good after that. She was like calm and, you know, and it was good. And the other thing is that at that aid station, there's no cell service because it's in the middle of nowhere. And it was like an hour ride back to like the Forest Hill aid station, which is mile 62. And on all these winding mountain roads with these nice, you know, 100, 200 foot drop offs. And so there's, I think the ride back freaked me out more than the actual run, you know, because it's just, I don't really like those like winding mountain roads with, you know, a little guardrail and. But then when I finally had cell service, my phone went crazy. So, I mean, I text and messenger, you know, messages on messenger and voicemails. I didn't realize how many people were actually following what I was doing. And were so invested in watching what was going on. It didn't even, you know, I just didn't really think that many people were paying attention. And it was really felt humbling and good that so many people actually were like, are you okay? What happened? We're worried about you, you know? And that also was like, I'm really grateful that, you know, that was a good experience that, you know, so many people were really into it and were worried and cared and, you know, and so it sounds kind of corny, but it was really nice to know that so many people were, you know, worried. Most of the time I go to these things and I'm not really thinking about what everybody else is thinking. I'm just doing my thing. But it was really nice. I learned that, you know, there's a lot of people were following and interested and concerned. And even when I got back to that aid station, the Forest Hill aid station, the spectators were like trying to give me drinks and food and offering me chairs and everybody was so nice. So even though it didn't go according to plan, and that was probably the biggest race, you know, that I wanted to get into, I learned so much and I'm just so grateful for the whole thing. And so I think that, you know, if people are going to do their first marathon or they want to do a longer distance, a longer ultra, you know, if you've done 50K, you want to do 50 miles, I say, go for it. I said, because you really, you will take something really good out of it. Whatever the outcome is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So never sell yourself short. And if it's something you really want to do, whether it's running or anything else in life, go for it and just give it a chance.
Yeah.
You won't know until you try. And I think that, you know, you only live once and go for it, really.
What year was the Western States?
That was actually, that was 2024.
Oh, so, recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, we're learning so much from you, Lisa. Ah. And I have, well, I think here's one other thing that I want to hear your advice on, because over that long of time, and you, you mentioned this, you've dealt with injury before. Yeah. I know some people who are kind of going through that right now.
Yes.
What do you do to get through that time frame where you're dealing with injury and you don't really know what the future holds? How do you get through that?
I will say that it's very hard. And I will also say that I did not always cope with it very well. But I've had, you know, a couple things happening. I had like sprained my hamstring at one point. I went to physical therapy and seemed better. And then I started having a whole new pain. And, you know, I went to so many different people and nobody could figure out what the problem was. Like, you know, PT, I went to an osteopathic doctor, and there's different kind of doctors to figure it out. So what I would say is that if you're injured and you're doing what they're telling you to do and you're not getting better, you have to keep looking for somebody that will, you know, help you out. Although for that, it actually turned out to be a proximal hamstring tendinopathy. And I figured it out, believe it or not, after listening to a podcast on injuries.
Wow.
The Run Smarter podcast. Mm-hmm. That was how I figured it out. And then, you know, eventually I ended up tripping over something on a trail and tearing it. But that also was, you know, I went to sports medicine. I said, you know, I think I tore the hamstring. I explained what happened. You know, I couldn't like slide one shoe off with the other, you know, which is basically like a hamstring function. Mm-hmm. And the guy told me, well, it's not your he's like, it's not really your hamstring. He said, you're over 50. It's probably coming from your back. Yes. That was what he told me. So, yeah. So I've been gaslit a lot too. So especially as a woman, when you're in your 50s and you're a woman and you want to do things that the rest of society thinks you probably shouldn't do anymore, or do in the first place, it's really hard. So I would say that if you are injured, find people that will work with you to figure out what the problem is. And don't lose hope. It's easy to spiral down the rabbit hole of, you know, is this ever going to get better? Am I ever going to be normal again? But, you know, nothing in life is really permanent. So you may end up, you know, you may have a couple of bad days, but then, you know, you're back and then you're, you know, better than ever. So you can bounce back. You can come back and focus on the things that you can do. If you can only, you know, so when I was training for, you know, lost a couple months training for Western States and I couldn't run, I did the things that I could do. I prepared for hills. I prepared for heat. You know, you do what's in your power that you can do. And, but you know, it is hard. And then, you know, if you get really disgusted, you can like, since I'm older and I do a lot of writing rather than typing, take out a piece of paper, write down everything that's ticking you off and everything you're mad at, get it all out and then just tear it up or shred it or whatever. And, you know, and it's like you took a mental dump, but you know, nobody had to listen to you and listen to you complain. So I would say, you know, it's really hard. I get it. It sucks when you're injured. It really does, but don't give up. If you go to five people and they can't figure it out, find a sixth person. Do the things that you can do and realize that none of it's, you know, in all likelihood, none of this is going to be permanent. Just you will get back. So don't give up.
That's great advice.
Miss a race or two, just you know, go back and try it again the next year. It really is not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And be thankful for what you can do, really.
That's great advice. I think that's something that I'm probably going to bookmark this episode for that one, because we all go through it eventually, right?
Yeah.
So our next question that came through the chat is, what has been your favorite swag or favorite medal? Because I'm sure you have a lot of swag sitting around.
We have a lot of swag and a lot of medals, I think. I really like some of the races where we got like a handmade ceramic cup, like Bryson's Ion gave out nice handmade things like that. But as far as other things, I like blankets and I love hoodies. I think I got my hat run. I got my hat run on. I pretty much live in the hoodie. So for me, that's like my favorite thing because I pretty much wear them all the time. Mm-hmm. And the summertime too, I get cold in the air conditioning. So you'll always see me with a jacket or hoodie from a race carrying something. So I've gotten a lot of wild things. I've gotten pajamas and I got a bathrobe and tons of towels and mugs and stuff. But I think the things that I wear, or, you know, like the blankets and stuff, those are my favorite things to get. I like those.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. How about here's, I want to go in this direction. See if you can think of something, either mm-hmm. something ridiculous that you've done or that has happened to you. Tell us like your most fun or funny story.
Oh yeah. I got a good one. So Baker 50 mm-hmm. miler, the second year I did it. It was the year, I don't know if it would have been 3 years ago. So I don't know if you've done that one, the year where it rained a ton and everything was underwater.
No.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Like, it didn't rain that much while we were in it, but it rained the day before.
Right, but it rained before.
So yes, like, yes. I was in it. That was my first year, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, everything that was supposed to be, like, you know, maybe your feet will get wet. It's like you're up to your waist.
I was soaked, yeah.
So, yes. So, so that race, I guess we got to – I was running with, I guess, a group of about five people, and we got to a road section, and we were going to be, I want to say it's maybe like 38, 39 miles in, and it was a road section, and there were these people that were drinking in their driveway, and it was, and the houses had really long driveways, and these two guys that were up in front, they were like, hey, you have some beer for us? So they come, these people come running down the driveway with the cooler, and they start handing everybody a beer, and I was like, I know, you know, I have like not good tolerance to start with. So I was like, well, I would like some of the beer, but I don't want to waste it. I don't want to drink the whole thing. So they're like, don't worry about it. Drink what you want. We'll finish it. Well, I end up having, you know, a good half of the beer. And I felt fine, you know, but as time went on and we got to that final stretch that was like kind of like a rail trail, I was getting loopier and loopier, like more and more tired. I was eating everything I had. It was totally went to my head. And, but I got to the end. And when I got to the end, I remember asking the timers if I shared an Airbnb with another woman. And I remember asking them if she had finished. And they're like, you know, I said, did she finish? And they're like, no, but she did check into the last aid station. So, you know, she'll be here eventually. Well, in the time it took me to walk from the timing table, like across the big field where all the food was, that item left my brain. So I get to the food where the food was, and I see this woman sitting down who looked like my roommate, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm like, so her name was Michelle. So I said, oh, Michelle. I'm like, and she had ice on her shoulder. I'm like, what happened to your shoulder? And she's like, oh, it's just, you know, I'm like, did you fall? And she's like, no, it's just a chronic thing, whatever, you know, it's just bothering me. And so I start talking to her, and I'm calling her the wrong name, and she doesn't correct me. And I know her because we ran together the year before. We shared a lot of time. So she was familiar to me, right? But in the time it took me from to walk across the field, I totally forgot that I asked and was told that the, you know, my friend hadn't finished.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I'm talking to this other woman, and then we both start getting cold, and she's like, "Oh, where's the shower?" And I said, "Well, we have the shower at the Airbnb." And she's still not correcting me, right? And now the volunteers start calling her the wrong name, and she's not correcting them either. So we had an Airbnb that was like literally a block walk from where that race ended. So I'm like, well, let's go back to the Airbnb and you can get in the shower first since you're cold. So she comes back to the Airbnb with me. She gets in the shower. I mean, this is a story for all stories because she gets in the shower, right?
Yeah.
So while she's in the shower, I'm like sprawled out on the floor because I'm just beat. And I hear the door to the house open. And my first thought is, holy crap, who is that? You know, so I go running down the stairs as best I can. And I see that it's my actual roommate. And she looks at me and she goes, who's in the shower? And I said, I thought it was you. And then it dawned on me what I did. I brought the wrong person back. So we go upstairs and the other girl comes out of the shower and she's wrapping towels because she has no clothes with her, right?
Yeah.
So we're like, do you have stuff in your car? You know, so anyway, we go back, my roommate and I go back, we find her car. You know, we're doing like, you know, hitting the alarm button to see which one goes off. So we get her stuff out of the car and we bring it back and she gets dressed. We all clean up, and we turned out we had three beds in the Airbnb, and she had like a really long drive, and she was almost, if not more, out of it than I was. So we're like, you have to stay with us tonight. So she did. So we ended up, the three of us stayed in the house, and we had a great time. And we're like just talking and talking. All of a sudden, everybody's yawning, and we're like, oh, yeah, it's because it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and we've been up since like three or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And so we ended up having a great time, but I actually had a half a beer at, you know, when I was already tired and dehydrated, low on calories, it went right to my head, and I brought the wrong roommate back to my Airbnb. That would be my winning story. Yeah, that's, I don't think anything will ever top that.
That's ultra brain. Yeah.
Yes, it is ultra brain. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're running and you ask somebody 10 times, what was your name again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't remember half. Yeah. I've shared like entire life stories with other people. And
oh, yeah. Well, that's the other beauty.
I don't know what they look like
when you do these races, right? I've gone to a lot of races. I haven't known people that were there. And then you just start talking to people. And I've hit off with so many people that we spent the whole race together talking. We know each other's life stories. And then we're still friends to this day, which is really kind of cool.
That's great.
No, it is cool. Yeah, it's cool. You think most of the time in life when you meet people, you're like dressed nicely. You're not sweaty or muddy. You smell nice. Your hair is nice. And then you're like out running these races and we all look like hell. We smell, right? But yet, who cares? We're like, talk about anything, right? Like, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's next? What's up on your schedule?
So I'm going to do a 50K in Tennessee this weekend, and then that'll be it for the year.
Okay.
And that will, so I had finished a marathon in all the states, and now I have single digits to go to finish a second round in the states. But I'm trying to do mostly ultras the second time. So this is going to give me my second round for Tennessee. And then I'll be taking time off until the end of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Time off being 2 weeks. You're going to take two weeks.
Yeah. So I will, if I really feel like running, I will run. If I feel like doing nothing, I won't do anything. So it's just like whatever I feel like doing. That's my plan. Yeah.
Do you have fun plans for 2026?
Yes, actually. So I'm knocking off two more states in the spring with 50Ks. And then I actually am going to take it up a crazy notch for 2026. I was following the Cowboy Race, which is the 200 mile race in Nebraska.
It's on my bucket list. Yeah.
Point to point. Yes. So the registration opened and I was following it every day. I'm looking at the numbers, right? And so on Thanksgiving, I see there's two spots left. And I said to myself, well, girl, you gotta go shit or get off the pot. You gotta make a decision, right? So I said to my husband, should I do it or not? He's like, just do it. You want to do it. So I signed up for the Cowboy 200.
Yes.
So I am going to go, yes, hopefully get my 200 miles across the state of Nebraska.
Nice.
So, yeah. So that'll be my big next crazy challenge.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And yes, and I already have a very different attitude about this than I have with, you know, with Western states. I was like, oh, I got to figure out how to finish. And, you know, and this one, I'm like, I'm going to go give it my best shot. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah. See so, Nebraska.
Yep. I'm going to see Nebraska. Apparently it all looks the same.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll find out for sure.
Got to test it. Test that theory.
Yeah. Well, I've done, so the 3 days at the fair race, I've done 48 hours twice. Mm-hmm. And the most I ever got in a year in one of those was 165. So I figure if I can do that on a couple hours of sleep the first night, hopefully, you know, I'll just move slower and eat more and drink more and sleep and, you know, more, and it'll all work out. That's my plan.
Yeah, so. I think so.
Yeah. So that'll be a whole other adventure.
Fun. All right, Grace, time to wrap it up.
Yep. Eric starts getting tired because he wakes up at like 1:30 in the morning to start running.
He gets not tired. He's just
crazy like that.
And then
he's an old man. He has to go to bed early.
Angry is Ryan.
Oh, wow. Now that's one thing. The only time you see me up early to run really is for a race. Cause otherwise I usually run like in the afternoon. I'm not
nice.
I'm not disciplined enough to get up at like 5 AM or 6 AM, 1 AM.
Yeah. It's crazy. My bed is way too cozy. So Lisa, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've been waiting for the right time to have you on. And I think this was it. And you got to inspire everybody. wrapping up 2025 and heading into 2026. And so I really, really appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate it. And anybody that's listening, if you want to get an idea that you want to do something, just go for it. You have nothing to lose. You really don't.
Absolutely.
Just do it. Yep. Live. You get one life. Go for it.
Thank you, Lisa.
I think you gave everybody a ton of inspiring words tonight. And we appreciate
thank you.
It. Yep.
Yeah. That was the goal.
Good.
Yes, exactly.
And it should always be fun. I mean, except for those miles that aren't fun, but we should always be having fun. That should be the main, you know, enjoy the scenery, enjoy the people, eat all the food, and have a good time.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely. That is the goal. And the goal for us is to keep doing this every Monday.
Exactly. As long as we can and be grateful for every day you could do it.
Absolutely. Keep running and keep inspiring. For anybody who's listening out there, keep tuning in to the podcast. Keep showing up 7:30 Eastern time every Monday. Share with your friends, like and subscribe, and leave some nice comments and leave some lovely reviews. And we'll have more inspiring episodes like this, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Well, you guys are inspiring, so there you go, right?
Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome. All right, guys. Well, have a good night.
Thanks. Take us out, Grace. Just take us out. End the show,
all
Grace.
Right. We're ending it.
Thanks, everybody. But you have to understand, you're on like my favorite topic, so I could probably talk for like another 3 hours. So
it's
I'll
easy.
Talk and I won't shut up.
We're going to have you back on. That's what we need to do.
Have me back on when I survive the Cowboy 200? Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Thank you, Lisa. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Talk
Eric.
To you.
Nice to meet you.
See welcome. Everybody next week. Bye.
Bye.